The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Now it's time to think and discern. This is Bob Burney Live.
I have been so excited about my interview today. If you're a regular listener, I've interviewed senators and governors and all kinds of people and some of the most famous preachers in America. But I've just been especially excited about interviewing my old friend, Dr. Ergun Kaner, who is a Swedish-born Turkish-American. I have never known anybody as weird as Ergun Kaner.
Thank you.
Well, you know, but Dr. Kaner is probably best known for his book, published back in 2002. He and his brother wrote it, Unveiling Islam. It sold over 200,000 copies. It was a massive blockbuster success. And we have been friends for a long time.
Two decades.
He spoke at one of our pastor appreciation breakfasts, did a phenomenal job. But he is from Columbus and actually worked at WRFD. Hey, I don't think I've officially welcomed you. Dr. Ergun Kaner, welcome to Bob Burney Live. Thank you so much.
It's my honor. I'm glad to be back. I mean, like I said, we've been on the air together for two decades and been friends for more.
So. Yeah, you're home.
This is. I graduated from Gahanna, Ohio, from Gahanna Lincoln High School.
And you're actually here for your high school reunion.
I am. Because I live in Texas, and my college is out there and where I work, I never got to come. So this is my first real high school reunion, which is awesome.
Well, my high school's Compton, California. So if we had a reunion, it'd have to be at prison.
That's wrong.
But it's true. I want you just quickly to give your testimony. You are from a Muslim background. Mm-hmm. You immigrated here from Turkey.
Yes, sir.
Your mother was Swedish. Dad was Turkish. Mm-hmm. Muslim. You immigrated here when you were 4 years old.
First time. Yeah, you know, the immigrants, we go back and forth. Settled and became an American citizen in Columbus, Ohio at the age of 12. Yeah.
At the age of 12, mm-hmm. Muslim background, Muslim dad. Mm-hmm. How did you come to Christ being in a Muslim family?
When I started high school at Gahanna Lincoln High School, I was still a Muslim. I was a Muslim all the way up until almost my senior year. We came to America to build mosques. My father was part of the original group that started the mosque in Olentangy, first at Ohio State University campus, and then now on High Street, the Islamic Center there on Broad Street.
Yeah.
My father helped because he was an architect. So I'm the oldest of the three sons. We moved to America for that purpose. There was an incredible Christian group of kids at Gahanna Lincoln from different schools, different churches, different backgrounds, mm-hmm. but they were just incredible. One boy was tenacious, a kid named Jerry Tackett, and he kept coming until almost my senior year, kept inviting me and telling me to come. And I went to church. You know, for those who are listening who think, you know, give him one shot and then close the door, he kept coming for years, 3.5 years. He kept inviting me.
Yeah.
I went to church to shut him up.
Mm-hmm.
And I ended up becoming a Christian 4 days later. Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Four days later.
There was a thing called a revival. And so I went all day, every day of that revival, every night.
No kidding.
Thursday night.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, Thursday night, I became a Christian.
Wow. At a church that does not exist.
Oh, yeah.
Through the preaching of a pastor who is now in heaven, passed away.
Clarence Miller.
Yeah.
It was a tiny church, and it was my experience. I'd never been in a church.
Over on Stigler, right?
Stelzer. And I sat in the back because I didn't want anybody to mess with me. I'm still a curmudgeon. I'm still grumpy, and so I was that guy. I didn't want anybody to bother me. Leave me alone. didn't know that the Baptist secret was everybody sits in the back, you know. So I was surrounded by all of a sudden all these people giving me a Bible and a bulletin and a hymnal and all that. So it was in a baptism by fire, so to speak, into the Christian world.
Yeah, you were the first in your family,
yes,
to receive Christ. You led your two siblings to the Lord, yeah. Correct?
Yes, sir.
But your father basically disowned you.
Yeah, he did. He disowned us. It would have been November of 1982, and I didn't see my father until 1999, right before he passed away.
Wow. I turned my sound off. I have no idea why those sounds are coming, but I'll get fined. So how did you win your brothers to Christ?
Adam and Emir, being the oldest in our culture, you call your older brother Abi. You know, there's a lot of respect for the older brother. This was not a respect moment. You know, they were just curious. They wanted to know what this, why our father was disowning me. We're very devout Muslims, very devout Sunni Muslims. And so they understood being disowned, but they didn't understand why I would be willing to go through that. So it gave me a chance to witness to them. But they also saw change. I mean, they saw a little bit of a change in my life, and I'm not the kind of person to really change that much. I was a pretty stubborn, bullheaded guy. So I don't know how Holy Spirit, what he used, but he did. And I mean, come on, 37 years later, all three of us are preachers. All three of us have our doctorates. All three of us have been teaching for or in the ministry for so long. And it all started with a group of kids in a high school, and it started with one boy and one tiny little church.
And through the years, most of your family have come to Christ,
yes.
Correct?
Mother, grandmother. Who'd have thought? You know, we were rejected.
Yeah, tell me the story quickly of your grandmother. That's a great story.
She had three preacher boys, wouldn't listen, never learned English. She would on occasion go to church, but she didn't want anything to do with it. She was 92 years old when the ladies of our church blew up the Bible in her language so she could understand it. And she would be more open to speaking to women. I tell this all the time because, you know, there's 800 million Muslim women in the world. There is no cross-gender evangelism. Mm. Christian women have to reach Muslim women because they're not going to listen. They're not open.
Right.
My mother and my grandmother both were led to Jesus by other people than their three preacher sons or preacher grandsons.
Mm-hmm.
She was baptized by my younger brother and slapped him in the baptistry. It was awesome. She was
at 92.
She was. I take after my grandmother. Yeah, she was. She was sort of. She's standing there. He starts crying. Mm-hmm. She's got her walker in the baptistry. He tries to. You know how we, as you as a pastor, you know, say the words.
Yeah.
She tried to say the word. He tried to say the words. This is my grandmother. He starts crying, and she slapped him and said, "Do it." You know, and it became this thing for us.
Goodness.
It's a perfect, amazing. I wish my father would have gotten saved. He didn't.
Yeah.
His other wife, Mubajar, they're all here. They live in Upper Arlington or in Turkey. I have many family that still don't know Christ, still go to the mosque on Broad Street.
You saw your father before he died, though?
3 days. 3 days before he passed. Yeah, it was August of 1999. And
Was there any kind of reconciliation, even though he did not accept Christ?
He gave us a Quran each. We gave him a Bible. He didn't want to hear it. But it did give us a chance, you know, if there is such a thing as closure, it did give us a chance to tell him why, explain to him grace, and explain to him.
Yeah.
You can't imagine how absolutely overwhelmingly tedious it is to try to live by your works.
Yeah.
And in Islam,
so true.
You know,
so true.
23rd chapter of the Quran, you more good than bad. And so you're constantly on this treadmill. And we were trying to explain to him that, you know, Christ shed his blood so that you don't have to try to earn. You couldn't do it if you tried.
Yeah. Yeah. We need to take a break. We're talking with Dr. Ergun Kaner here live in the studio. Dear old friend, former employee of WRFD. We'll have to get into that very brief story.
Sure.
My number, 877-BOB-LIVE. And you know what? Maybe you have a question about Islam. How to evangelize the dangers of Islam? I've got a great guest that can answer your questions. 877-BOB-LIVE. We'll be right back.
Talk radio that makes a difference. Makes a difference. This is Bob Burney Live.
Again, welcome to Bob Burney Live, and it's again my privilege to welcome Dr. Ergun Kaner to the program today. And it's also great to welcome his wife, Trish. They are almost newlyweds.
That's right.
This coming November, it'll be 1 year.
Sir.
Well, congratulations to both of you. This is the first time I've seen you in person since you got married.
Yes, sir.
Congratulations. Let's get it out of the way, Ergun.
Yeah.
You were on the staff right here at WRFD. Well, we were in a different building back then.
Right.
But you worked for WRFD for, what, 2 weeks?
2 weeks. Got fired. 2 weeks. I was here. I loved RFD, being an AM station guy, you know, 700 WW and 880 rural farm delivery. I loved it.
Right.
But I'm a city guy. I literally don't speak a word of country. And I somehow finagled myself in to get a job trying to work for RFD. And I knew nothing. I knew nothing of the culture. I knew nothing. I was such a magnificent failure that I'm sure there's a plaque.
Now, what year was that?
It had been 89.
Okay. So Salem did own the station
then.
We had a full-time farm department at that time.
They did. And it was so big that the state fair, like it was RFD,
had this massive
thing, which I was, you know, enamored with. I went to Gahanna Lincoln, and I went to a place called Gahanna Middle School West. They put us on a bus, took us to a farm, showed us a cow, put us back on the bus, and sent us home. That's all I knew about the country. I'm not a country person. So for me, trying to do anything that had to do with anything rural is just laughable. I'm amazed they let me stay for 2 weeks.
Yeah, I would imagine that many of our listeners do not know that we were the major agricultural station in the entire state of Ohio, and
that's
thus RFD, Rural Farm Delivery, WRFD.
The reason I was so enamored is I would drive up to where the mosque used to be, it's still a mosque in Toledo. I would be up in North Ohio and pick up just clear as a bell, 880.
Yeah.
And so I thought, this is the station. And it was, and it still is. But I was thinking, come on, this is huge. And not even knowing that I knew nothing about anything that had to do with radio.
After the bottom of the hour break, Ergun has graciously agreed to stay with us this entire hour. And in the next half hour, I want to start dealing with Islam, the concerns that we should have here in America as Islam gains a greater foothold and so forth. But before we do that, Ergun Kaner has had enormous success in his life. Again, a huge best-selling book. Numerous books, president of a seminary, president of a college, just great, great accomplishments. But you've also had some deep, deep heartache. Your son took his own life. Ergun, I don't understand. How has God brought you through that? And I'm sure people in our audience have gone through just incredible tragedy. What do you say to people who are going through the worst that life can give you on this planet?
Well, it certainly feels like that when you're going through it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't share it that often. I don't talk about it that much. But within a six-month period of time, my son took his life. I had complete heart failure.
Did you see it coming?
No.
Could you see it? No.
We had just gotten back from a mission trip. He was 15 years old, traveled with me most of his life, you know, where we would go. He was in school, but if he wasn't in school, we were traveling. And there was nothing, straight A's, et cetera. But all within 6 months, my whole world collapsed. And I couldn't imagine even to try to verbalize the pain. What is amazing is that, like Job, sometimes you run into people who don't know what they're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
But every now and again, there would be people who had much worse than I did, suffered much worse than I did.
There's people at this moment
who are being tortured for the faith in Christ.
Well, true.
There are people who are in cement floors and, you know, being beaten for their faith. I would run into people that would casually share something about that, and it would just put things in perspective. My son knew Christ. He was saved when he was 6 years old. So I have the assurance that my boy's in heaven. Of course, suicide is not the unforgivable sin. There are seven suicides in the Bible. But for somebody like me, you know, I'm not necessarily an emotional person. It tore me up from the inside out. It radically changed the way I approached life. Yeah.
Yeah.
I had to retire. I had to retire from, at that time, I retired from college work because I couldn't.
You were president.
Yes.
President.
I was president of Bruton Parker College, and yeah. I couldn't put words together. I had signs in my house that said, don't forget your wallet, your keys, your phone, because there is parts of that still to this day where I can't, small things, menial things just bypass me.
And you had the physical issues,
yeah.
Heart failure.
Oh, yeah. Died twice on the table, so to speak. You know, you have 33%, part of my heart working, but I've gotten stronger, get stronger. You know, you're not dead. If there's blood in your body and there's a beat in your heart, you got a purpose for living. And so you keep going. So, I mean, I love it. I'm amazed that I get to do what I do. I chalk up the things that I deal with. It's not as bad as somebody else's.
Have you thought about putting it in print? You've written several books.
Yeah, 24.
Have you thought?
Never. I say this between us, but we've written 24 books. I have not written one cogent word since my son died. I just haven't been able to. I've tried two or three times, but I haven't been able to write yet.
Well, I know it's painful, and that's why I asked you permission.
Sure.
Whether we could share it or not.
Yes, sir.
And when it happened, my heart just ached for you. Wished I could have come and just hugged your neck and couldn't, but I know that you were surrounded by people who loved you. And how important is it to be surrounded by people who love you?
Your first instinct, my first instinct is to burrow.
Right. Isolate.
Isolate and burrow and, you know, dark room. It's just like dealing with sickness or anything. I don't want anybody to talk to me when I'm ill. I just want to be left alone. In this case, it was the same. I had my other son. Drake is now 15.
Sure.
Drake turns 15 in November. He's my travel partner. You know, with he and my wife, we have a life again. And I couldn't give up for him.
Yeah.
And the church members who came around me, the brothers and sisters in Christ who came around me, wouldn't let me give up either. And I think that's why Scripture is so clear about we're part of community.
Mm-hmm.
Community picks you up when you're down, dusts you off.
All right. We're talking with Dr. Errigan Kaner, who is here in Columbus, and we'll tell you why he's here. He's here for a high school reunion, but he's also speaking in our community this coming Sunday as well. And I want him to tell us about his books, how you can get a hold of them, because I don't know of any book in print today that will give you a better insight into Islam than his book, Unveiling Islam. If you don't have it, you need to get it. And again, he's graciously agreed to stay with us till the top of the hour. We're talking with Dr. Errigan Kaner, and we will return.
Three-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.